This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But it is a common sight to see it 30 hours after. To increase the Islamic observer's chances, two independent witnesses are required. The Ottomans decreed that first sighting can be made with the naked eye or a telescope. Now listen to this. There are efforts to standardize the Islamic calendar so that Ramadan is started on the same day in various communities. But the relationship of celestial bodies to the earth is a living thing, and every location has its own sky. So why shouldn't religious festivals begin on dates peculiar to particular places? The modern mind, however, wishes to generalize and abstract the situation so the phenomena are bypassed. As with the length of the day, the average is calculated and becomes the accepted truth to accommodate the limits of circular wheels in clocks. Yet none of the celestial bodies moves in circles. So what he's saying is, you put all your averages in and you'll get this average and it'll all work out. You can make your little calendar and it works perfect, but that's not nature. People forget that 24-hour-a-day period, that's not real time. That's our standard time. Real time is 23 hours and 56 minutes. That's what a day is. So the idea of going out and looking at the moon is again connecting you with nature. I mean, I think it's really interesting that before you pray, you use water, and if you don't have water, you use earth. It's like, touch the world. Touch these things. Feel them. You know how children, one of the things children do is they love to touch mud and get in there, and they love to do that. Why do they like to do that? Because they're still connected with that. They're still, the world is very real to them. We become so abstracted. And so these things are bringing us back to the basic elements of which we are composed. Earth and water, prayer, movement. Get in your body. People behind a desk all day, never stopping to... I mean, watch a cat. A cat could not sit behind a desk all day long. They're not insane. They have to move. They have to experience. They have to feel that. That's what they have to do. That's why cats do that. And then they do their wudu, right? They have to do all those things. They even do the wiping over the head. Have you ever watched them do that? That's what they're doing. They're in there. And all these animals, watch them. Watch animals. People forget the Prophet ﷺ had goats in his yard. And we know how many. And he used to go out and milk them. He drank milk that came out of an udder. Have you ever had milk directly out of an udder? Right? Really? I mean, this is what Hakim is always asking people about that stuff. Really, have you experienced nature? And that's what going out and looking at the moon. Look at the moon. Have you ever seen a new moon born? It's called Wilada. It comes into existence. Literally, just comes into existence. And it's an incredible thing to witness. And when you see it, there's this thing that happens in you. SubhanAllah. That's what happens. And that's why Allah is saying, go out and look at that, because I made that. And that is a sign of my existence. Go out and look at it and say, SubhanAllah. Feel that, because that is reality. That is you as a conscious creature with this gift of consciousness experiencing the Creator's world that He made for your consciousness. He has put it all together so that you could experience it, because nobody else can. We are unique. That's the gift He gave us, and that's what it's about. That's what fasting Ramadan is. Lunar, why do we have lunar calendars? They're so, here they want cesarean sections. They don't want natural birth. It makes it so easy because I can have my golfing appointment and then at 11 o'clock I just go and do the operation. But children don't come out at 11 o'clock. They come out whenever they want. They come out when they're ready to come out. They come out when Allah decrees for them to come out. But modern mind wants to fix it all. And that's why if you look at aerial cities of the Islamic world, they look like cells. They literally look like living cells. Look at Fez. Look at pictures of Fez. And look at modern cities with all their perfectly straight streets. Perfectly. I mean, there's no, you have to go into Muslim cities and it's all corners and curves and everything because that's the world. That's how the world is. It's not all straight lines. Straight lines are abstractions in the mind. But that's what the modern mind wants to do. It wants to impose its reality on an already existing reality. And that's why it's living in a delusional state. Because reality is not like that. And Islam is about experiencing reality as it is. Allahumma arina ashya kama hiya. Oh Allah, show me things as they are. Not as I want them to be. Not as my filters project them to be. Show me them as they are. That was a dua of our Prophet. Show me things as they are. And that's Islam. And fasting is part of that. I mean, look at what fasting does. Fasting, Allah says, we decreed fasting for you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order for you to learn how to discipline your souls and make them pure. Now, one of the things about fasting is things that are normally permitted are suddenly prohibited. What does that do to the things that are prohibited? They become extra prohibited. And suddenly you're aware of backbiting in a way you weren't aware of it during the rest of the year. Suddenly you're aware of looking at somebody lustfully in a way you weren't aware of it because, oh my God, I'm fasting. In other words, what is normally permissible is now prohibited, and it makes the normally prohibited seem very, very real. And so it's a discipline of your soul. It's teaching you how to have taqwa. And it's about purification of the body and the soul. Sumu tasihu. This is a body is here. It's real. Don't ignore your bodies. The bodies are real. They're real. And Allah made them. And it's a great gift to be in the body. And we should take care of the body. Be good to the body. Because the body is good to us. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, your bodies have rights over you. And fasting, the beauty of fasting is that non-Muslims look at it as this incredibly difficult thing. And Muslims, it's the best time of the year. Because it's the time when they're closest to Allah. That's why. Because they're actually in a state of worship, despite themselves. Just by sitting there, by sleeping, they're worshiping. Because they're fasting. And that's why even the sleep of a faster is worship. And that's why you feel good in Ramadan. You might not feel physically good, but you feel spiritually good. So it's this beautiful proof every year. And another thing that he points out that is beautiful is about the justice of God. That if you look on the earth, if you live in England, half the year you're going to be fasting really short period, and the other half really long period. But over a 33-year period, which is the total cycle, it'll work out to the same amount of fasting that those people in the middle part of the world. So everybody ends up fasting about the same amount of time all throughout the world. Now, the fifth pillar, which is Hajj, every religion has this idea of pilgrimage, and it's the setting out on that journey. And here it's a physical journey with a metaphysical destination. It's a physical journey, but the destination is the house of God. And God does not have a house in which he dwells. So he put a house there as a symbol of visiting God. And you're a guest of God. And that's why you're called Dayf al-Rahman, the guest of the merciful. And he put a rock there that he called the right hand of God that you can go kiss. In the same way that when you would visit a king, you would kiss the right hand of the king. So the rock there is symbolic of paying homage to this benevolent monarch, this benevolent king of whom you are a subject. And obviously it's also a recognition, one of the things about going to Mecca is suddenly all these things you've heard about are real. The Kaaba is real. The places where the Prophet ﷺ walked become real. Jabal Thawr is real. Jabal Nur is real. You're walking in the footsteps of the Prophet Abraham and his greatest son Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's part of what the Hajj is. It's connecting you with the footsteps of these great human beings that were in a state of complete submission. And it's about submission. And then also the gift of visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's there, وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He is amongst us. In other words, he is there. You can go visit him. There's no other prophet on the planet that anybody can go visit with any certainty. The Jews can't go visit Moses. Nobody can go visit the Isa alayhi salam. They can't visit that. Really, I mean, this is a great gift that Muslims have been given, that their prophet actually is there physically in Medina. And he, according to the hadith, actually returns greetings. So this is a real visit with a response. And for people who have been there and been in the right state, they know what they tasted there. They know. Because you can go in there in different states. There's people that go in there, they don't see anything. And there's other people that go in there and they're waiting in light. And some people, they're not waiting, they're engulfed in it. And other people, that's all they can see. I mean, there are many different visits to Medina. Now he talks about the sixth pillar, and this is a Shia concept, and he studied in Iran, so that's why you kind of notice that. I mean, I think he's very fair. I like both of them because they both wrote it. But I know that William Chittick studied in Iran, and so I think he's very familiar with the Shia tradition, which is why he brings these in. The Shia traditionally considered the jihad as a sixth pillar, so he says some authorities. That is not a Sunni concept. Although Imam Malik does put it in acts of worship, not in acts of transactions, whereas the other imams put it in the transactions. So you don't have to write them if you want. You can just. There is a separation and then there's a restoration. So there is a separation. I mean, obviously the soul has a reality. And Imam Malik radiallahu anhu described it, and this is the best description we have. He described it as the soul is to the body what moisture is to the tree. In other words, it's what animates the body. So in that way, we're vitalists. The 19th century had a school of medicine that they called the vitalists. The Chinese also adhere to that, the idea of qi, that there's this nondescript, non-quantitative force working in the body, and when that force is removed, the body. But what I was talking about was that consciousness, the idea of separating consciousness, there's a duality in Western tradition of the mind-body split that comes from Descartes, which is why Descartes said, for instance, that animals didn't feel any pain even if it sounded like they did, because they didn't have a consciousness. So you could just dissect a living animal and don't be bothered by the screams of agony. That's the type of madness that, no, the body is very real, the nervous system is very real, and we need to be in our bodies. And a lot of people are not in their bodies. They check out of their bodies. They become disembodied. And you can actually go into a type of psychotic condition where you're completely disembodied. So it's very important. That's part of why we pray in our bodies, because it keeps us in our bodies. We put our heads on the ground. We do these things that keep us in our bodies. Mm-hmm.